Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome to the Insomnia Project. Sit back, relax, and listen as we have a conversation about the ordinary or mundane, although I don't think today's episode falls in either of those categories. One thing that we can promise is that our conversation will hopefully be less than fascinating so that you can feel free to just drift off. I know for some people it is interesting, certain episodes, and other episodes aren't, so depending on what you like or dislike, this might be an interesting episode. Regardless, thank you for joining us. And we hope you will. Listen and sleep. I'm your host, Marco Timpano.
And I'm Amanda Barker, joining you yet again.
Amanda, how are you doing today?
I'm cold.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you do have a blanket on you, so hopefully that'll warm you up.
And slippers.
I keep the studio kind of cool because it can get warm real fast in here.
I often think that it's very cold outside because it's so cold in our house until I go outside and realize that no, you've just been in the studio with the air conditioning going.
Well, let's see if we get warmed up in the next 26 minutes by the time we finish. So a listener sent an email suggesting some topics, and some of the topics were mythology, semi-precious stones, fortune-telling, animal facts. So I figured we'd combine two of them.
I thought you said animal fat.
Animal
like
fat.
Cooking with animal fat.
Cooking with animal
bacon,
fat.
Bacon, duck.
Yeah, duck fries. But we're going to combine two of them and look at the mythology of semi-precious stones. And I figured I would start with the stones of the month. So every month has a stone, semi-precious, or in some cases, precious stones. Mm-hmm. But they also have mythologies behind them.
Oh, cool.
So, Amanda, our first month, January, is garnet. How do you feel about the semi-precious stone garnet?
I like garnet. I like Capricorns. I find Capricorns are, which is usually the symbol. I know that astrology doesn't line up completely with the month.
Sure.
But the bulk of the month usually gets one. And for January, that's Capricorn. So I always think of my sister, who is a January baby. And garnet is her birthstone. And so I always think of garnet as being a really solid stone.
Okay.
Like a stone of hard work. And it's not too flashy. It's a deep sort of reddish hue, but a very deep kind of tone, almost like dark brown, black, red.
Sure. It's in a group of six different stones called grossular, which are red to orange in color.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, and the sort of mythology behind the garnet is that one of the myths is that garnet originated with Persephone. Is that right? Is that how you say the
No
Greek?
Idea.
Okay, I'm going to say Persephone, the Greek goddess of sunshine.
Ooh.
And Persephone was
Persephone?
Oh, I guess, is that how you say it? Spell it?
Persephone would be P-E-R-S. I have to look, but if she's a goddess, I'm assuming it would be Persephone.
Okay. So, yeah, so then I guess it is Persephone.
Mm-hmm.
You know more about the myths than I do.
Not much, but Yeah, that's the E, is you pronounce the E at the end.
So Persephone is the Greek goddess of sunshine. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
And she was captured by
Hades.
She was
the goddess of a few things. She was the daughter of somebody.
Okay.
She was like a daughter of Zeus and somebody.
Probably most of the gods are, or the goddesses, aren't they kids of Zeus? That's how much I know about myths.
Well, Hera was his wife.
Right.
But he had sort of babies with everybody. Anyway, she was the daughter of Zeus and Demeter.
Who was?
Persephone.
Persephone. Oh, I'm sorry.
And Demeter is the god of vegetation and agriculture.
I see.
So Persephone gets that sort of agriculture. So certainly sunshine would be part of that.
Well, according to this legend or this myth, before Hades released Persephone, he wanted to guarantee her return.
Mm-hmm.
So he gave her some pomegranate seeds.
Mm-hmm.
And the word garnet comes from the Latin granatus, which means seeds.
Okay.
So the next time that you have a cracked open a pomegranate, take a look. You'll notice those seeds are actually very similar in color to an actual garnet.
That's so true.
And
I didn't know that.
Don't they call the seeds of a pomegranate jewels?
I guess, yeah.
That's I think, what they'll often refer to, or chefs will often refer to seeds from pomegranate as jewels.
Mm-hmm.
So if we go to the next month, do you know what stone it is, Amanda?
I don't know February's. What's February's?
It's purple, if that helps.
Amethyst?
Yeah, you got it. And amethyst is a member of the quartz family.
Oh, and there's a little Greek myth with amethyst.
Tell me.
So Dionysus, you know Dionysus?
Wine, goddess, god of wine?
Yeah. In the Roman version would be Bacchus.
Yes.
Yeah. God of wine or the enjoyment of wine, was apparently angered by an insult from a mere mortal.
Oh, my goodness.
And swore revenge on the next mortal that crossed his path, creating fierce tigers to carry out his wish. Along came the unsuspecting amethyst, a beautiful maiden on her way to pay tribute to the goddess Diana.
Oh, so it was a person's name in this case.
Mm-hmm. Diana turned amethyst into a statue of pure crystalline quartz to protect her from the tigers. And Dionysus wept tears of wine and remorse at the sight of the beautiful statue. The god's tears stained the quartz purple, creating the gem.
Oh, there you go.
So it's a wine. In Greek mythology, it was a wine-colored quartz.
I see. So how do you feel about amethysts, Amanda?
I like amethysts. There's also, you know, we're talking about mythology around stones, but
sure.
There's also the vibrational aspect of amethyst. And
mm-hmm.
I believe it's a love stone and a cleansing stone, a very powerful stone.
Oh, cool.
Mm-hmm.
So that brings us to March. Any idea on March's birthstone?
Is it aquamarine?
You got it. Aquamarine is a variety of the mineral beryl, spelled B-E-R-Y-L.
That's a woman's name, too.
Oh.
Yeah.
You don't hear, I haven't heard.
You never heard the name beryl?
Not in reference to a person's name.
Yeah, it's a woman's name. My mom used to know a beryl.
Beryls are pretty cool. Like, it's a cool stone, and they can range from clear to deep green. And emeralds are beryls, Amanda.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah. But aquamarine is usually like a bluish-green color, right,
mm-hmm.
to sort of represent, or it's kind of the color of oceans or waters,
mm-hmm.
that blue-green.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it gets its name from aqua, meaning water in Latin, and mare, which means sea,
mm-hmm.
because of its intense blue-green color.
Yeah.
And because of this resemblance to the ocean, sailors used to wear it as a talisman.
Oh.
To depict the god Neptune, which
oh.
is the Roman god, who ruled the seas.
Yeah. And what was his Greek name?
Neptune was...
it's going to drive me nuts. Look it up.
Neptune was...
Poseidon.
Poseidon. Of course, Poseidon. I'm sure there's listeners who were screaming Poseidon. And, of course, they would wear it so that the god would help them,
mm-hmm.
believing that the aquamarine would offer them protection from the sea's elements.
Now, aquamarine is an interesting stone to me because I don't think you see it a lot. Like amethyst, you tend to see quite a bit. There's certain stones you see a lot of. And there might have been a time when people wore a lot of aquamarine, but I have to say I haven't seen a lot of people wearing it, you know, recently.
I think it's an expensive stone. That's
yeah,
why.
I think yeah. it is. Yeah.
But if you're going on a ship,
mm-hmm.
wear aquamarine, I guess.
What was that stone I got in Turkey, that beautiful green stone? That wasn't an aquamarine.
No, it was.
I forget what that was called. It was beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Then we get to April.
I don't know what April is.
April is probably the most expensive gem.
I don't know.
Diamond.
Oh.
Well, they say diamond or...
Are a girl's best friend?
Yes, they say that. That's. I wonder if that's a myth. You know, it is, of course, I'm sure there's a ton of myths and legends with diamonds.
Mm-hmm.
The hardest stone.
That's right. You could always check. It was a real diamond if you scratched a mirror with it, right? I remember there's some scene in a movie where she takes the diamond and tries to show that it's fake and then it scratches the mirror in half.
I don't have at hand any legends or myths about diamonds, Amanda.
Oh, well, I mean, certainly... There were a lot of legends and myths about diamonds with, like, Liz Taylor and Marilyn Monroe and all of those people.
Sure. And there's so many movies that deal with diamonds.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Diamonds Are Forever is one of the first ones I can think of, which is a James Bond film.
Right.
And, you know, isn't – I'm trying to think of another film that has diamonds. There's a ton of them. But diamonds, you know – are the stone of engagements, right?
Right.
Or the classic, not, I guess, a classic version of that the engagement ring is made with, contains a diamond.
I mean, it's still the preferred. You do see a lot of people kind of getting sapphires or emeralds now for engagement stone, but it is still the stone, too. That is the eternal love stone.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of emeralds, that brings us to May, Amanda.
Mm-hmm. I love a good emerald. I do.
They're a delicate stone, so you've got to be very careful if you submerge your hands in water that is a different temperature. So if you put it in really, really hot water or really, really cold water, they can crack.
Well, did you know that thousands of years ago, the ancient Egyptians began mining emeralds? So they were kind of the first ones to discover emeralds and mine them.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and Cleopatra loved them so much that she claimed all the mines just for herself.
Wow.
So she was actually known for wearing a lot of emeralds, and she gave emeralds as well to important visitors.
And do you know that because emeralds are a barrel, it can change in color? Like they can have, there's different colors of the green emerald?
Mm-hmm.
Because I think you have an emerald that it looks almost blue-green, don't you?
Well, emeralds... The ones you mostly see, I do, and in sometimes that's where it's from. So the one you're talking about is a Tanzanian emerald.
Okay.
And that one is almost a blue-green emerald, really beautiful. And but actually what's funny is it's not worth as much as a Colombian emerald, which are most of the real emeralds that you see today. And I say real emeralds because so much of the jewelry that we see today is lab-created. And there's a great case to make for only wearing lab-created or procuring lab-created diamonds and emeralds and sapphires and rubies because they are, of course, sustainable.
Sure.
They're not, no one's being hurt for them or, you know. So, I think actually Meghan Markle, the Duchess of Sussex, I think.
Cornwall? No.
I thought she was Sussex.
It must be Sussex.
Anyway, I believe, wears lab-created diamonds and is a big endorser of them.
Meghan Markle's the Duchess of Sussex, and I think Camilla is the Duchess of Cornwall. That's
okay.
Where I was
sure.
Making my mistakes.
No, it's Duchess. I thought you were looking up lab-created.
No. I think it's great.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move to June. I didn't know June's birthstone, Amanda. I just looked it up now.
I would have said it was emerald, and that's obviously May.
That's
so.
May. Moonstone.
Oh.
Do you like a good moonstone, Amanda?
I don't think I know. Do I have any moonstone?
Well, I'll describe it. It's a very strange light refractive type stone. So when you look at it, the light will sort of bounce on it. It almost sort of shimmers and shines.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like a tiger's eye, if you know what that stone looks like.
Yeah.
So, you know, moonstone. But I think it's pinkish in color or peachy in color.
Oh, it can be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you know in ancient, like the Druids, they believed that this stone, moonstone, would make somebody invisible if you wore it.
Oh, cool.
I guess that's the idea of like light refracting off of it, that type of thing.
Like the cloak of invisibility from Harry Potter.
Yes, sure. You just throw one a moonstone.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be cool? Mm-hmm. A lot of ancient people believed the stone had mystical properties and that could help spiritual awakeness mm-hmm. if you wore it. So, you know, sometimes when you need that awakeness or if you have an exam and you want to be awake for it, maybe wear some moonstone.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Amanda, we're in July.
We are. And I know July's very well.
Tell me.
It is the ruby.
Of course.
The beautiful ruby. It's actually
also a person's name.
Yes. I mean, any of them could be. In fact, there's a very famous rap artist whose real name is Amethyst. Do
okay.
you know who it is?
Is it Azalea?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Her real name is Amethyst.
Oh, that's a cool name.
I know. And she turned it into Iggy.
Yeah.
I know. But yeah, no, that's her birth name. But rubies are a beautiful red. I used to get them mixed up with garnets a lot, but they're more vibrant. Almost orangey color, depending.
Pinky red, I always picture
it. It can be.
Okay.
Or an orange sort of tomato red, in a way.
Okay.
But they're one of the most expensive gems. I believe they're more expensive than emeralds, right?
I think so. I think they're
very
pricey.
Up there,
yeah.
Anyway.
Chromium is what causes the red color, Amanda.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And do you have any mythology about them?
Well, they're often referred to as the king of gems, Amanda.
They are in various parts of the world.
And supposedly royalty would wear it, and it would help to ward off evil because
Ooh.
It was believed to have magical powers.
Yeah, they were very popular in Bali, in India, across Southeast Asia.
Sure, and one of the magical powers was that the ruby would get darker in the presence of evil and lighter when evil was gone.
Really?
Yeah. So if you had the ruby on, you could
almost like a mood ring, but if you were a good person.
I guess. There you go. And you said you love rubies, correct?
I do love rubies. I got a ruby for my birthday this year, mm-hmm. sort of a ruby. Like it is a ruby, but it's mixed in with other stones.
Yeah. And now we move to August.
I thought August was amethyst.
No, it's actually green in color. It's the peridot.
Oh, I like a peridot.
And the peridot is a type of olivine.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes in various shades of green, as the name might suggest.
Well, the ancient Egyptians used to call it the gem of the sun. And it was believed back then that the peridot glowed with its own inner light even after sunset, and that miners used to locate the stones at night to retrieve them during the day.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
The inner light of a peridot. Is it peridot or peridot?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. It looks like it should be peridot. The Arabic word Feridat, meaning gem, is where the name for peridot comes from. So that would suggest it's peridot versus dough.
Okay, because that's a French pronunciation of it.
Yeah, like feridot sounds like peridot.
Right.
Versus peridot.
Right.
So we'll go with that.
Well, I know for a fact you know what the next month, September's birthstone is, because that's your
mine. It's a sapphire.
Now, it's funny, a lot of people don't love their birthstone for their month. How do you feel about
it? I love it. I've always loved it. I love a sapphire. What's not to love about a beautiful sapphire?
And of course, they can range from light to dark, deep blue.
Mm-hmm.
And they are from the mineral corundum.
Now, sapphires lately, the ones that have been mined last 5 to 10 years tend to be extraordinarily dark. Very, very dark. Almost
close to black in
close
color.
To black, yeah, in color. So it's hard to get a good, maybe from Ceylon, or that's not a place anymore, but
Sri Lanka.
Yeah. They used to call them Ceylon sapphires,
yeah, of course, yeah.
Can be a bit brighter. And this is another one that is lab-created a lot, so you might
sure.
see the vibrant colors in a lab-created version. But some older sapphires, like Princess Diana's ring, which then is now Princess Kate's ring.
The Duchess of Sussex?
No.
No, she's the other
Cambridge.
Duchess.
She's okay. The Duchess of Cambridge. We should do a royal family.
We should do a royal family tree.
Yeah. The only, without knowing much about it.
The problem is we have a lot of listeners in the UK, and I think it would just really upset them. So I think we'll avoid doing a royal family.
It would be very anger-inducing because we don't know that much about the Mountbatten-Windsors. But anyway,
you do love them.
I do love them. I don't know what happened to me. I don't know what happened to me. But I think because of Princess Kate. I think Princess Kate, for me, was what got me really excited, even though I don't have any, like, I never wanted to be a princess when I grew up. I didn't think that was particularly fun. She just looks so good in clothes, and you just think her life is great. And
there you go.
And I love Meghan Markle, too. And, you know, anyway, they're just fun to watch.
Sure.
Like the Greeks watch the gods.
For sure.
Or the Egyptians watch Cleopatra.
Yep.
But anyway, that ring that she now wears, that was Princess Di's, and I'm sure it was some wonderful, famous royal Brit person before that, is that beautiful blue sapphire surrounded by diamonds. So that's a really popular ring, and you can really see the blue on either one of their fingers whenever that ring appears in photos.
Sapphires have a lot of legends associated with them. They supposedly have protective powers, such as preventing envy and protecting the wearer from poisoning.
Ooh.
As well, people believe that sapphire had medical healing properties, such as the ability to cure colic, rheumatism, blindness, and mental illness, if you can believe
it,
Amanda.
That's a lot. That's from birth to the grave.
I guess. That's certainly
from colic to rheumatism.
So, October. Now, I know something fascinating about this stone.
Okay.
Do you know October stones?
It's opal.
That's right. O and O. I always remember that. Mm-hmm. Supposedly, only people in October whose birthstone is opal should be wearing opal.
Or wasn't it someone should give you an opal?
I always knew it as only people born in October should be wearing opals.
You told me once, not that after I was going to buy an opal, that someone had to give you an opal or it's unlucky.
That's probably because I didn't want you to buy that expensive opal you were looking at.
But that's interesting. Those are two myths around them. And they were worn in by the queens and kings in the Middle Ages for their protective powers. They were worn as jewelry, and they were put in a lot of crowns to ward off evil and to protect the wearer's eyesight.
Oh, so it's a stone of sight, if you will.
And they would actually grind up opals and put it in a powder to protect from getting nightmares.
Oh, that's cool.
I don't know what that was about, but maybe if you had, like, a lot of people had lead poisoning back then,
sure.
So maybe the opal counteracted that.
That's because so many people drank out of lead, mm-hmm. lead ware and whatnot. Before we move to the next one, did you end up buying that opal?
I bought opal earrings.
Okay.
Australian opal, I think, earrings. Mm-hmm. They're a bluey kind of color. They're very pretty.
Opal's a very pretty stone. Speaking of pretty stones, we move to November, which is probably my favorite semi-precious stone, which is known as the merchant stone, Amanda.
Oh, I didn't realize this was November stone. I'm seeing it here.
Citrine.
Yes, we love citrine. We went through a real citrine phase, if you will, in 2015. I was living in Thunder Bay, Ontario, which is actually the home to nearby amethyst mines. So there was a lot of rock stores there, and they mostly sold amethyst, but this one sold a lot of citrine as well. And I was sold a candle, and it was said that if I burned the candle, that I would heat the citrine crystals inside that I would get once it was burned, and that money would come to me. And it did, in fact, in that particular instance, that day, every time I lit the candle, something would happen and I would get a check in the mail I didn't know was coming. Or so then I just lit that thing and I've been lighting it ever since.
So if you are in need of some cash flow, wear a citrine. I always knew November to be topaz.
Oh, me too, actually. But a lot of the months have more than one.
That's true. Yeah, citrine is definitely a cool stone.
I feel like some months it's undeniable. Like May is always emerald. September is always sapphire.
Sure.
But then like November and sometimes March. Those ones are up for grabs, which
I know for December, which is my birth month, which we're coming to now.
Which I thought was diamond.
No, April's always been diamond.
Oh, okay.
December is turquoise, or I always knew it as turquoise, but I read recently that tanzanite is also a December stone, if you can believe it.
Well, do we have any citrine legends? I mean, we know it brings money.
Oh, I'm sorry. I jumped to December. Yeah, I just know it as the stone, the merchant stone that brings money. And, you know, if you need money, carry citrine with you.
Yeah. Romans believed in its money-bringing powers. Turn of the century Europe, it became very popular for the same reason. And, people, citrine is the stone that you wear when you want to sell something, when you want. Also, it's a stone of abundance.
Okay.
So when you want more opportunities in work and life, you wear that stone. In fact, we gave my sister one, and she had to take it off because she said so many opportunities were coming so fast, she couldn't feel them all. So she took her beautiful citrine ring off that we gave her just to slow it a bit.
Right. Well, I tip the hat with December being turquoise. Mm. So do you like turquoise? I know you have a turquoise ring.
What do you think?
I feel like you wear it once in a while, but it's not your favorite.
Here's the thing. I haven't met a gem I don't like.
Semi-precious or precious?
Yeah. And turquoise is definitely semi-precious. So it's sort of a everyday kind of wear. I spent some time in Mexico when I was younger, not so much recently. And so silver and turquoise was sort of the jewelry du jour back then. We would, when I worked on cruise ships, we would all go and find onyx, turquoise, and silver and buy it up. But turquoise is a really beautiful stone. And there's white turquoise. I have some white turquoise. That's just beautiful.
Oh, I didn't know there was white turquoise. I only know it as blue.
Well, then what was the earrings that you gave me that were white turquoise last year? Because you gave them to me.
Oh, no, they're called something else.
I believe they're white turquoise.
Oh, maybe they are. Maybe they are. any legends or myths?
There are with a lot of the indigenous cultures
of course.
North America and Central America, but also Persian culture as well. Is very much believed that turquoise is a lucky stone, and of course it's valued because it's gorgeous. And the Navajo in particular believe, so I'm told, that turquoise is a part of the sky that fell to earth. That particular group of indigenous people. Yeah. So it's a very versatile stone, that's for sure.
Yep. I will say this, a lot of the myths that we got for today's episode came from the Burke Museum website, which is in Seattle, Washington, the Burke Museum. If you get a chance, it looks like a really cool museum. At least visit them online, because I certainly did, and I enjoyed learning about semi-precious and precious stones and the myths behind them. I want to thank our listener for suggesting those two topics. I hope we did it justice by combining them both.
Mm-hmm. And if they want more of one or the other, I don't know about mythology, but I certainly can talk about stones all day.
Well, if you have a favorite semi-precious stone, let us know. Maybe take a photo of it and put it on our Instagram. We'd love to see that. And maybe we'll do the same with some of your turquoise and citrine.
Show off my jewelry collection.
Well, we even just have stones. Like we have the citrine, sort of just the rough stone.
Sure, yeah.
That's fun too. Anyways, we hope you had not too much fun, but enough fun that brought you to sleep.